Hello, welcome to the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus's second ever fellowship-wide call entitled, What is Spiritually Sustainable Earning? And this is a Debtors Anonymous fellowship-wide call put on by the World Service Conference's Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. My name is Molly, and I'm a debtor, and I'll be the moderator of this call today. Let's begin with a moment of silence for the soul-suffering debtor, followed by the serenity prayer. You can mute and then please, or unmute yourselves and then mute yourselves by pressing star 6 on your phone keypad. So let's all join together in the serenity prayer. Please press star 6 to unmute yourself. God. At any time to be heard, as a reminder, you will press star 6 to either mute or unmute yourselves. Okay. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded, and all speakers consent by their participation to having the recording uploaded to the DA website, which is www.debtorsanonymous.org. So the portion of our call which will not be recorded is shares afterwards. The recording will be off for that, and nothing will be recorded following the speakership. Okay. We have three excellent speakers with us today who will each speak on a topic relating to the question, what is spiritually sustainable earning? The playback number for this you'll be able to find on the DA website, and I will announce it at the end of the call. We're also joined by a timekeeper from the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus, Paul, who will be timing you. Thank you very much, Paul, for your service.
You're welcome.
Our first speaker is Ed from Northeast Pennsylvania, and he's going to be speaking on the topic of work-life balance. We are so happy to have you here. Ed also does service as a GSR and is a very own member of our Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. So go ahead, Ed. We look forward to hearing your share.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. My name's Ed. I'm a compulsive debtor. And thank you, Lolly, for moderating the call. And also a big thank you to the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus and subcommittee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope with you today. So my share will be around the topic of work-life balance and how I incorporate that into my daily guide for living a day at a time, along with the concept of spiritually sustainable earning. To briefly qualify, I come from a very small town in northeastern Pennsylvania. I'm the youngest of five. My father was an alcoholic and probably a debtor. He died when I was 7 years of age. We were very poor. However, I really didn't realize this until my teen years because we always had food, shelter, clothing, and I went to a private school that was funded by our church. So I really didn't have much feeling of lack as a youth. Somewhere along the way, I developed a sense of entitlement that the rules didn't apply to Ed, that I was a privileged character, as I was told by one of the Catholic nuns in the 10th grade. Imagine that. I received my first credit card when I was 18. I had it maxed out within a short period and had absolutely no intention of paying it off. I really had a sense from early on that I would never have enough, enough money, enough love, enough food, clothing, party material, you name it, I just wouldn't have enough of anything. It seemed I always wanted more, more of everything. So to fast forward a little bit, for most of my adult life, I was always looking for something on the outside to fix the way I was feeling on the inside. I thought that my material possessions, the cars I drove, the places I lived, the sports I played, the vacations I took, the girl I married from the other side of the tracks for sure, and the social circles that I traveled in, my credit score, the businesses I owned, all that external stuff is really, really what I thought defined me as a person. And that just wasn't the truth, you know, only, you know, to find out how much of an egomaniac I was and really that I was crippled with insecurity and low self-esteem issues. So, you know, that's just kind of like a brief qualifier. A little bit further ahead in 2013, my life started to really come crashing down around me. I had turned 50 in the beginning of October that year. Of course, I had to throw myself a birthday party at a local country club on a credit card, of course, which I didn't have the money to pay for. I had refinanced my house at least five times over a 20-year period, always to pay off credit card debt and to pocket some extra cash because, again, I always felt that feeling of lack, that I'm never going to have enough. You know, my business was failing. Money was all dried up. My credit was poor. I had three homes I wasn't paying the mortgages on. My credit cards were maxed, and any option for a loan was non-existent. You know, talk about really feeling backed up into a corner. You know, life as I knew it was gone. Definitely desperation, deprivation had set in. Depression was horrible. You know, I mean, I really couldn't even get out of the bed in the morning. You know, thoughts of ending my life were coming into my head, and that was really my bottom, you know, if you will. So, you know, to go a little further through divine intervention, and really divine intervention, I was introduced to Debtors Anonymous. For the first time in my life, I found people who felt the same way I did around money, debt, and spending. You know, I mean, I was definitely at a bottom, at a low point, and I was willing to do whatever it took to change the way I was feeling. You know, I heard that I was willing as only the dying could be. You know, I got a sponsor right away in DA. I started keeping my numbers right away, and I had my first PRG within a short time. You know, the sponsor I got was amazing. I still have that sponsor today. My sponsor told me I had to start working the 12 steps of DA, that the credits didn't carry over from any other 12-step programs, and that was extremely humbling, I have to say. I thought I had this. I was really willing to listen to the people in the DA program. You know, the G-O-D, as I call it, the gift of desperation, was the first God I knew upon arrival in DA. Then the G-O-D, the group of debtors, was the second God that I knew in DA. And, you know, thank God I had a desire to really saturate myself in the group and the 12 steps of Debtors Anonymous. And as I continued to continue the work with my sponsor and talk about my fears and shortcomings with my sponsor as recently as yesterday, go figure. So my sponsor suggested that I start journaling every day. Part of the writing exercise was to list one gratitude and one request that I was willing to do to enhance my recovery and program. And I really needed to keep it that simple. And I still do that exercise every day before breakfast. So it was kind of ingrained in me from early on. It was also suggested by my sponsor that I write out 100 different things I could do to generate income. To my amazement, and through this process, I started to find different ways to earn. And believe me when I tell you this, I had absolutely no idea of how I was going to earn a living when I came into DA, let alone how to do it spiritually or even sustainable. To speak about spiritually sustainable earning, life-work balance, which was my topic for this call today, and how I balance my life while working and existing in the rest of my world. So this is kind of my experience around this topic. And the first is for me that I really have to look at the four signs of recovery. Do I have a home group? Do I have a sponsor? What step am I working on? And what service am I doing? If I'm doing these four things, I've been told this is evidence that I'm in recovery. And, you know, once I'm exercising these and I'm, you know, I really feel I'm firmly planted in recovery, I really start to see things differently. I'm acting differently. I'm responding to situations and not reacting with old behaviors. I'm able to hit the pause button and practice restraint. Most of all, through this process, I'm not debting one day at a time. Regarding earning and work, you know, now that I'm recovering in this program, I finally can seek out work that I enjoy. I can work with integrity and dignity because it's work that I love doing. I've been able to navigate my way through this. When I do this, then I have a new perspective, a transformation, if you will. It really isn't work at all. It's a service that I provide. And I get compensated fairly for my services. I've also developed an awareness that I'm a better coworker and a better boss. I've been told that one of the greatest joys on earth is the ability to serve another person. I get to do that a lot in DA. I've also learned to say no to money. If the type of work doesn't fit me, or the people who want the work performed are unfitting, I can simply walk away. I'm not enslaved to anyone. I do have a belief that I have more than enough today. This is a newfound freedom for me. My employer is my higher power. And regarding balancing work and life outside work, outside of my office, you know, I like to say that I work hard and I play hard. And what I really mean is that through the awareness of spiritually sustainable earning, I have acquired new skills for a healthy balance in my work and my outside life. I always used to be in such a hurry at work to get everything done ahead of schedule so that I had more time for the playful things outside the work environment.
Ed, hi. You've got, that's your 10-minute. I'm sorry, you've got 5 minutes left. 10 minutes has elapsed.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
You know, in such a hurry outside of work, you know, so that I thought I had more time for everything I wanted to do outside. And I was literally running myself ragged and couldn't enjoy my downtime. You know, I now have an awareness that through this spiritually sustainable earning process that there is enough time in my life to do anything I want. I just can't do everything I want. I don't have to buzz through every task in my life. I've found a rhythm that works for me, that I'm able to strike a healthy balance. You know, and I make sure I don't spend so much time earning that I don't enjoy the fruits of my labor. There are many things I love to do outside the office. Recovery, family, friends, sports, entertainment. I mean, the list just keeps going. You know, but I've also come to realize through recovery that my recovery must come first. You know, that's the absolute number one thing in my life. You know, and thank God my wife understands this. Everything after that, I just start adding zeros for all the good things. You know, I have one is my recovery, and every good thing after that, I look at it as a zero. You know, and I think I'm up into the gazillions right now. But if I take that number one thing in my life away, I'm left with a bunch of zeros. So recovery must come first for me. You know, and balance. Also, you know, I think the balance of my life comes from the willingness to do service in DA recovery and in the DA fellowship, you know. And the fact is, and I do mean the fact, is that the more time I make for DA recovery and DA service in my life, the more time I have for everything I want to do. I do have enough time today. The less time I make for DA recovery and DA service, the less time I have to do the things I want to do. I really feel my higher power rewards me when I give back to DA. I think my higher power saves me from myself, without a doubt. You know, and the feeling of lack has disappeared. The notion that I don't have enough is gone. I have an awareness that I am enough. That understanding that there is enough time, that I don't have to hurry and rush through life, that having money is spiritual, that I can do and seek work that I enjoy and earn a living, and that I can mix playtime in my schedule. I also definitely have a huge category in my life for self-care on a daily living plan. You know, with a new idea of spiritually sustainable earning, I could admit that I'm an imperfect person that works an imperfect program. I'm not debting a day at a time. I'm solvent. I have a feeling of extreme abundance, and I'm thriving in my environment. You know, I have accepted the fact that my disease of debting is a spiritual problem, and this is part of the spiritual solution, what we're talking about here today. I really feel
Ed, you've got 2 minutes left.
Thank you, Paul. I really feel the topic of spiritually sustainable earning is being introduced at the perfect time in Debtors Anonymous. I really feel it resonates with a fellowship. And, you know, on a personal note, I will continue to unpack this notion of spiritually sustainable earning. I love the concept. I feel it really defines what a healing solution to compulsive debting can look and feel like if I continue to walk down this path of recovery. I'm honored to be a part of this discussion around spiritually sustainable earning. I love Debtors Anonymous. It has and continues to save my life on a daily basis.
The following is intended only for mature.
My name is Ed, and I'm a debtor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. That was a wonderful, wonderful share. Thank you for your service today on the call. Paul, can I be heard?
Yes.
Great. Okay, just making sure. Super. So, our next speaker today is from the UK, from London, England, Sahara, and she will be sharing on the topic of living your vision. And Sahara was introduced to us through the International Caucus, which we are fortunate to have. For those of you wondering about the caucuses and the committees, that is what GSRs join when they go to the World Service Conference. And so most of the members, actually all of the members, are generally GSRs or board members. Sahara, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. And Sahara, this is Paul. How would you like your time notifications?
I'd like 5 minutes to go and then 2 minutes, please.
Okay. And thank you.
One thing, Sahara, before you start, I'm going to do a sweep of the muting. I'm going to mute all callers just to make sure we have the best possible sound. And so you and Paul will be required to press *6 again to unmute. So I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
Give me one moment. And just saw how to chime in and ask if I can hear you. Sahara, go ahead. All right, let me try one more time. Okay, Sahara, you should be able to unmute yourself now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Good. That's good.
Yes, and Lolly, I unmuted too.
Great. Perfect. Go ahead, Sahara.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. My name is Sahara. I'm a debtor, under-earner, overspender. And I'm really, really grateful to be asked to speak on the topic of living your vision in the context of spiritually sustainable earning. And I came into DA in 2013 with absolute terror and fear about the fact that I had very kind of compulsively spent money that was meant to be payment towards my mortgage for my apartment. And I had done that over a couple of years without even thinking. And in those 2 years, I didn't work either. I think I probably did like 1 or 2 or 3 days work over the whole 2 years. And I wasn't even aware of what I was doing. This is such a cunning, powerful, baffling disease where denial is just complete. It's not even denial. It's like I just had no idea what I was doing. And I behaved like I was earning a salary of like, I don't know, 175,000 a year in pounds, maybe $100,000 a year. And but I wasn't working, I wasn't earning, but I was spending this money that had come to me through the sale of an apartment that I used to own, which was a rental, a place, you know, it was like I did it for a business. Anyway, what happened was I got right down to single figures in this money. There was a, you know, quite a bit of money. I think I basically, yeah, I spent most of it. And I was talking to a friend of mine who actually lives in LA, and she's in DA, and she 12-stepped me. She said to me, basically, she just said, "You need to get your ass into DA." Those were her exact words. And when she said that, it was like I woke up, and it was like a slap in the face, but I really heard it. Other people, a couple of other people had attempted to attract me into DA before, but I was not ready. I was not ready because I was like, I'm sorry, I don't do budgets. I don't do, you know, like, I know we don't call it budgets, but that's how I held it. It's like, nobody is going to tell me how to spend my money. If I want to spend my money, I will spend my money, and I will buy everything that I want to buy and go on expensive holidays, and I don't want to be told what to do. And, you know, I'm sure the money's going to come. Someone's going to come along and look after me and rescue me, and it's all going to be fine. Anyway, that clearly didn't happen, but my higher power did step in to rescue me through this woman who basically 12-stepped me into DA. So I went into my first meeting and sat in absolute fear, and I was told at that first meeting by a woman who spoke to me at the end of the meeting, and she said to me, "Start keeping your figures. Just write everything down to the last penny of what you spend, any money that you might earn, and start thinking about how you can start getting some money in." And basically, to cut a very, very long story short, I did what she suggested, and I basically got like a sort of babysitting job to begin with for like about 2 months. I kept my figures, and I went to a meeting every week in London. And within February, March, April, yeah, within 2 months, it was a miracle. I got basically a full-time job working in the city for a training company. And I worked there for a year, and I was able to start sustaining and earning and not spending any more of the money that I had put aside for my mortgage. And it was so quick. Like somebody said to me, be prepared for how quickly DA will start working. And in my experience, that is what has happened. But things really changed. I mean, so all I did for a few years, actually, I did not dive into the center of the bed. I went to a meeting once a week. I kept my figures. I didn't debt one day at a time, thank God, still don't. And that's all I did. I did not get a sponsor, and I did not start working the steps. And it was working for me. It was working for me. But people kept saying to me, actually, when you start working the steps, that's when the change really happens. When you start doing service, that's when the change really happens. So I basically met my sponsor at a meeting in London, and it was very strange how it happened, because I did not plan to ask him to be my sponsor, but we went for coffee together. We were, you know, we got on really well, and I suddenly, I don't know, it was like God has spoke through me, my higher power spoke through me. I said, actually, would you be my sponsor? And he said, well, yes, of course, you know. And so I basically started working the steps with him. And when I did my step three, I could not believe the gifts that started kind of literally raining on me. And in terms of living my vision, what happened was I had always had a vision to move to America. I go to America pretty much every year, and I love, I just love it. I've got, have a real spiritual connection with Arizona. And it was my vision to move out to Arizona. Well, the year that I started working the steps was the year that I moved to Arizona. And so we would Skype, because my sponsor lives here, and we would Skype, you know, once a week, and I would, you know, work my steps with him. And basically, I from the moment that I started working the steps, I mean, it was a big thing to move over to the States. I had to, you know, I had to get a car, buy a new car. I had to get, like, health insurance, car insurance, this, that, and the other. All the infrastructure that I have in England, I had to restart when I moved. And that cost a lot of money, but I had the money. I had the money because I had started building up a pot for it. And anyway, I lived there for just under a year, and then I moved back to England last year. And I'm really, really, really happy to be home. I mean, America was amazing, but actually this is very much about me coming home sort of literally and metaphorically to myself and just being still. And since I've been back, and I came back partly because I was offered quite a bit of work here, I have been getting increasingly prosperous through working the program of Debt is Anonymous. And my vision about a year and a half ago was actually, you know, I want to earn a certain amount of money each month in order to really kind of build up a fund again to pay off my mortgage. And blow me down, that, you know, I don't earn that amount every month, but I do earn very close to that amount, sometimes more than that amount, each month. And that has been happening since I moved back to England. And it's been happening, I believe, as a result of working the steps. I'm not all the way through. I'm just about to start step 10 with my sponsor next weekend. But the promises, I went through the promises after step 9, and I ticked every single one of them. Some of them I'm on my way to, you know, but most of them had, like, yep, that's happened, yep. And the others are, I'm in progress. And basically, this program has just, it continues to just give, it kind of gives me a sense of worthiness, because today I believe that I am worthy of living a prosperous and abundant life. And before I came in, I was not of that belief or that mindset. I grew up with debtors. My mother and my stepfather were, you know, very loving, but my mum was an alcoholic. My stepdad was a gambler. And, you know, it was a bit of a chaotic household. I was fed and clothed and sheltered and loved, but also they were both addicts. And we always we never had enough. We never had enough. And so they debted, you know, and basically, I just thought that was normal and that you never had to pay. I never thought, like, I don't have to pay off a debt. Why would I pay anything off? They never paid anything off, and I grew up believing that I could just, you know, use credit cards and basically just not kind of think about paying anything off, not be responsible. And this program has helped me to really grow up on a level that my other 12-step fellowship has started to do, but that this one is really where I put my big girl pants on and go, you know what, I am fully self-supporting and I am responsible.
Hi, Sahara, you've got 5 minutes to go.
Thank you, Paul. So in terms of living my vision, I've already started to saving money just did not exist for me, but I love saving now. I have a savings pot for my holidays abroad. I have savings pots. I have a contingency fund for 6 months, which is great because I'm self-employed. I have a savings pot for my home decoration. I love putting money aside for certain things. My spending plan, it slightly changes each month according to what I need and where I'm at. And so that's a really organic process. I love keeping my figures and my spreadsheet. There's just something about tracking that just makes me feel really like, not vague, basically, and in clarity. And I also recently took service in my home group, my DA home group, as treasurer. And somebody said to me, watch out, because when you're treasurer, you just get like, you know, you can get really prosperous. And I was like, okay. And it seems to be happening. I mean, I think it's, again, to do with keeping figures, because as treasurer of my home group, I'm keeping figures for our group. And, it's like a double whammy, really. And in terms of, you know, spiritually sustainable, I was looking at those two words, and what I got from that and what I interpreted from that was that God, you know, my higher power, who I choose to call God, sustains me. And so, you know, it's like in DA, I do not have to be self-willed and ego and fearful and driven and crazy and in denial, because my higher power helps me to be clearer and responsible and be fully self-supporting. And I just looked at those two words and I thought, well, spiritual higher power, it's my higher power that sustains me. And I remember when I was in the States, at my DA meeting there, I actually was temporary treasurer for a few weeks before I moved somewhere else to California. But anyway, and I looked at the dollar bills that I was counting, and I noticed the words "In God We Trust," and I realized, oh my God, God is literally in the money. You know, God is literally in the money. And
Sahara, you've got two minutes. 2 minutes to go.
Thank you. And I never used to believe that before. And God is in, you know, as far as I'm concerned, God is in everything. And you know, why wouldn't he, she, it be in the money too? And you know, I have really prayed hard for God to remove my fear of economic insecurity. And that's, you know, I do, when I did my 6 and 7 in DA, that fear reduced by, like, yeah, it reduced. I mean, I'm not, just for today, I do not feel fear around money. Now, that's partly because I am earning, I have work, you know, I have work. But to feel in a place of trust as opposed to fear, in a place of faith as opposed to fear, is what this program has given me around my money. And the universe is abundant, and I am, in, you know, worthy of receiving. And for me, DA has given me that gift to receive, because that was something I found really hard to do. So one day at a time, I will keep coming back. And thank you very much for listening and letting me share. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes. Where's Lolly?
I don't know.
Lolly, can you unmute and come back?
That's a bit worrying.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Do you have... Oh, I can email her. I've got my... hang on. That's really strange.
Well, I can continue on as moderator, as we had talked about. Why don't we just go ahead and do that? Our next speaker, this is Paul. I'm a compulsive debtor. Our next speaker is Bill D. And Bill, could you unmute and let us know that you can, so that we can hear you?
Hi, sir. Paul, I'm back. I just...
Lolly, you're back? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lolly.
Sorry, I got disconnected from the call, because, you know, modern technology and Verizon and iPhones and everything. Right as I came back on after your share, Sahara, I got disconnected. What I said, though, that nobody heard was, wow, Sahara, that was fantastic. That was incredibly inspiring. Thank you so much for your service today on this call. That was beautiful share. And so
thank
far,
you, Lolly.
Both of you, Ed and yourself included, have really said things that I personally need to hear right now. So I think probably a lot of people on the call are feeling the same. Okay. Our next caller today is Bill from Los Angeles, and he does service, has done much service, including as a GSR, but also now as a member of the board of GSC. And he will be sharing his experience with some hosts, action partners. Bill, go ahead. Bill, you may need to unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Yeah. Yes, thanks, Bill. And Bill, this is Paul. How would you like your time notifications?
Same as the others, 5-5 and then 2 left.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thanks, Lolly, for inviting me to speak on this call. So I'm going to give kind of an abbreviated version of why and how I got into DA. Again, my name is Bill D., and I'm a debtor. And I also, as Ed mentioned, grew up with parents who were survivors of the Depression. So they were children when the Depression hit, and it didn't affect my dad so much, but it really affected my mom. So my mom lived in, she grew up in Orange County, California, and her family owned some pretty massive orange groves that they all lost during the Depression. And my mom had to, her parents divorced when she was young. So she and her siblings moved about an average of once a year all over the Southern California area. And I remember once hearing her and her brother talk about all the different places that they had lived. So this gave my mother, I believe, a real fear of not having enough. And of losing whatever she did have. So whenever I was a kid, and, you know, my brother and I would leave the lights on in a room, she would get angry at us, and she said, "You're going to send us all to the poorhouse." And I don't know if my mom thought there was a poorhouse, how serious she was, but it sounded serious to me, and it sounded like something more literal than figurative. And I didn't find out until years later, you know, when I was in my adolescence or teens, that there was no poorhouse anymore. But she was very afraid of it. And in the last years of her life, she had dementia, and she was terrified once again about losing the house that she and my dad had lived in, except the house had been paid off for many, many years, and there was no way that they would lose it, but that was still a fear of hers. And so I found myself inheriting that fear about money, that there wasn't enough money. But I also inherited her belief that if you had too much money, there was something wrong with you, just as if you had little too little money. So, you know, if anybody in our small town in Iowa seemed to be what anybody would thought of was wealthy, then she would denigrate those people. You know, she would say, oh, this woman spends like she's Lady Astor. That was her comparison. And then if you didn't have enough money, if you were poor, then she would accuse you of picking John Q. Public's pocket. So, in other words, she had to pay for poor people, but rich people were bad. So I kind of learned that there was a very narrow space of morality in money. That's the lesson that I learned from my mom. And it was really difficult for me to kind of transcend that and find out where, first I was just trying to find out where that place was. And I think as a result of that, much of my life I have, been what some people would call an under-earner. So I believe capable of earning. I have a bachelor's degree in theater arts and English, a master's degree in English, but I have often taken jobs that don't really pay me sufficiently. So I really hit my bottom in debting when I lived in New York City. I was working there as a credit card marketer and making, a so-so living as a bank officer, but always overspending and really hating my life. And I moved back to Texas about 27 or 28 years ago, and I got a job in a bookstore as a bookstore clerk, which was, a very good job for me at the time. But what I didn't realize until later was definitely under-earning. I could have applied for and gotten jobs that paid me better than that. But I said, well, I'll work as a clerk in the library. I'll work as a clerk in the bookstore, because for some reason there was some feeling in there that I just wasn't quite worthy enough or wasn't quite good enough. And throughout my early years in VA, and I loved what I heard before, be prepared for how quickly DA works. Because when I got into DA, I just started experiencing miracles right away. But I always kind of had this feeling that I wasn't quite worthy of any kind of earning job, and that the next job would fix me. So when I saw friends of mine who were working part-time as college teachers, when I was working in the bookstore, I thought, oh, if I just had that part-time college job, that would do everything. And then I got the part-time college job, and then that didn't do everything for me. Although there were some miracles associated with that period of time in my life. I was not doing anything that I didn't enjoy doing, and I also was able to fulfill an adulthood-long dream of having my own horse. And that was really a wonderful experience, and I was able to pay for all of that through cash. And eventually, I ended up moving to Southern California, where I was still just earning too low. And so after a year of teaching part-time college, I got a full-time college or a full-time high school position. But guess what? It still didn't really earn enough. So I accepted this position knowing what it paid, but didn't say, no, I'm going to hold out and I'm going to look for something more. So a big part of my journey in Debtors Anonymous has been convincing myself that I deserve to earn sufficiently, and that I deserve to earn sufficiently doing things that I love to do. And right now, I have a job that's challenging for me sometimes because I'm very good at it, I think. I'm a teacher, a high school teacher. And sometimes it's rewarding and sometimes not, but it definitely uses the skill set that I've always had in my life, the skills of communicating and writing and acting, because a teacher, I think, is a performer, an actor, kind of has to be. And here in California as well, I've also found success in writing and acting. The one thing that I have been struggling with, or one of the things, is what Ed talked about earlier, that work and life balance. And sometimes I find myself working too much to really enjoy my life. And when I was a little kid, my dad growing up had a job working for the government, for the U.S. Army. And my experience of him was that he was just tired all the time, and he didn't really have anything that he liked to do. He would watch the news, he would read the newspaper, and maybe once or twice a year he would go out hunting or fishing, and that was pretty much it. He just seemed tired all the time. And sometimes lately, even though I do a lot, of service work to DA, I go horseback riding when I can, but not very often. I go to the gym to practice self-care. I find myself working too much. And my DA, PRG, about a little over a year ago, a year and a few months ago, had asked me if I had an action partner. And at the time, I didn't. I tried having action partners before, but we never could quite figure, okay, we're going to call at 7:30 a.m. or how many times a week, and it just kind of fell apart. So they asked me at the time, is there someone that you would like to be your action partner? And immediately a name popped into my head, and I said, yes, there is someone. And they said, well, here's something we've heard that works. So talk to your action partner or leave a message every day and tell that person three things you're grateful for, three things that you are proud of, one thing that you struggle with, and one thing that you, one goal that you have for the day. And so my action partner and I started doing that the very next day, or perhaps that day. And it was kind of stumbling and certainly imperfect at first, and it still is imperfect. But we found over those 15 or 16 months that this has become a very, very valuable part of our day. Often we don't speak the list to each other live. We leave messages, although we do attempt to talk to each other as often as we can by phone, in person, once or twice, or once every other day sometimes. And that's really great. But we're really anchored in the things that we're grateful for. Every day we have...
Bill, hi, it's Paul. You've got 5 minutes to go.
Thank you. So every day we have three things that we're grateful for, and sometimes it's more than that. And sometimes they're the very same things, and sometimes I say to myself, oh, I should come up with something new, you know, because, hey, I need to be creative and exciting. But the things, and sometimes I do that, but the things that I am grateful for are always the same. There may be 5 or 10 of them, and I only mentioned 3. I always start with the fact that I'm very grateful for my action partner. And then the other 2 can be from any of the other gratefuls. But that's where I start, because I definitely am. And I think of all the things that I'm proud of. And again, they might often be the same, but I like to think of things that are kind of outside the box in a way. So I know that I'm a very good teacher. I know that I do a lot of service work for Debtors Anonymous, and I'm very proud of those. But I'm also proud of the achievements that I've had in my life in writing and acting, because those are the areas that I have always had a vision for my life of being paid abundantly for what I do well, and then in turn being able to pass on a lot of that money to not only Debtors Anonymous and my other 12-step programs, but other causes I support. And there are several of those that I give to every month. And so that's always been a dream for my life, to do exactly what I love to do and to earn abundantly for it, from it. And then I always say a particular struggle that I have, and then I always say what one of my goals is for today. And often the struggles and the goals are multiple. And then one of the most important things is that I also get to listen to my action partners' check-ins every day. And I realized after a while that I, you know, at first I was thinking of, I do this so that my own life will become better. But I also have realized that my action partner relationship is a part of me being able to do service for someone else. And in the last year, particularly, I have seen my action partner's life really kick into thriving. So many, many of the goals that my action partner has expressed, the goals that she has or the things that she is frustrated with, have really come to fruition. Those frustrations have gone away, and they have turned into gratitudes and prouds of. And sometimes I get a little bit envious. I think, like, oh, why isn't it working like that for me? And I think that
Hi,
it
Bill,
is.
You've got two minutes to go.
Thank you. I think that it is in a more subtle fashion. So I have realized recently, a colleague of mine reminded me that there is a way that I can increase the income from my current job without having to take another job, because I've done that in the past. I've overworked in order just to be able to travel, for instance, which is something that I really love to do. So I have a plan now that I have worked on with my PRG and with my partner, my life partner, as opposed to my action partner, about how I can increase my income, and that's going to start very soon. And I'm still working on artistic endeavors, acting and writing. And one of the things that I love so much about my action partner relationship is that she can see in me what I can't see in myself. And I can see in her what sometimes she can't see here for herself. So very often, you know, we'll call up just to hear that other person say, I think you're a wonderful, wonderful, amazing person. And when we're feeling less than enough, we can call that other person who says, you are so much more than enough. In fact, you are just incredibly successful and really wonderful and an essential part of my life. And that relationship has become just so important to me over these last 16 months or so, and I'm very grateful for it. I'm also, as Ed said before, grateful for Debtors Anonymous and the fact that I found it. I found it in April of 1991, and I have lived an unbelievably wonderful life since then because of Debtors Anonymous, and so many of my dreams have come true. And I think I'm close to my time, so I'm going to end with that. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Wow. What a wonderful, inspiring, informative share. Thank you for your service today and your delightful sense of anonymity really upholds our, not only our tools, but our values. Steps and traditions. That's fantastic. So now that the speakers have shared for 15 minutes each, I'm going to go ahead and end the recording, and we will start the open sharing process where members get to share for 2 minutes each, and they will, in order to be heard, will have to press *6 to unmute themselves or mute themselves after they're done. And please remember to try to mute yourself after you're done. I'm going to go ahead and end the recording.